We have one of Maulana's very good friends from the days of Darul Uloom Deoband, Maulana Zubair Saab, on the line with us all the way from the United Kingdom. Maulana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to yourself and all the listeners in South Africa especially. Jazakallah khairan for having me on. I've been listening to the program. To be honest, I'm dwarf. My contribution or whatever little I'll be able to contribute is going to be dwarfed by what I've been listening. You people have been so fortunate and mashallah privileged that you had Sheikh Taha Karan within you and around you and living with you. I only spent 2 years with him, and then our relationship sort of we took it back on when he came to the UK. He only made the one trip to UK in 2017 to a Shafi madrasa that had the Khadme Bukhari. So then we were then able to reconnect, and we made up a WhatsApp group, me, himself, and his best friend Maulana Afzal, I think, from Durban.
Yes, yes.
And alhamdulillah. 1989 was the time when I first set eyes on Sheikh Taha. A simple person, I wrote some memos, and he wasn't any different from anybody else. You couldn't see anything different in him, and yet he was a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had endowed with so many abilities. Each day was a different day in Daulum. I found out when some new thing would come up, and you'd realize that Sheikh Taha was somebody who knew about it. And in every field, I mean, many of you have been talking about so many things, just some simple things. He had an amazing ability of calligraphy. He could write things in all different forms of not just Arabic, but even his Urdu khat, his English writing, mashallah. He was just out of this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him so much, and yet he was so modest, so humble. He wouldn't make out that he was somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted so much. And we stayed, 2 years there, and other than being a friend, he was somebody that inspired me so much. I remember some of his, he even tried to teach me how to do calligraphy. But the other thing that he also tried to encourage me, and very strongly, was when you're studying, and this is something that I feel that all students of Yadimiya should adopt, is that always try to study direct from the source itself, i.e. study the Arabic. Study Arabic shuruhats, read the Arabic, and try your best to understand whatever you can from the Arabic. Because Sheikh Taha, his command of the Arabic language was phenomenal in all areas, not just speaking and writing, but even understanding to make bayans and all that stuff in the Arabic language. It was just out of this world. And he was only when he came, he was 20 years old, a 20-year-old student, and yet at that, the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him even at that age, you couldn't believe it. And every day used to be a new day of new things coming out. And then even other than that, he'd be somebody who would be so easygoing, so down to earth, so wanting to ensure that people were comfortable around him. I was just remembering one of the incidents. I mean, in India, it's Friday is the day when it's holiday. So Thursday night you finish, and Friday is Jummah. There's no classes. So Friday mornings we used to sometimes go out into the Tibbi playground and just play around. And sometimes it became that we'd start playing football. So we'd be playing football, and most of the Indian students would be also, football used to be something. In the UP side, cricket is not as popular as it is in Gujarat.
Okay.
But on that side, yeah, so they used to play football. So I remember one time we were playing football, and suddenly he picked up the ball, and he started playing rugby. and he said, football's not my game. And he started playing rugby. He said, let's play. And many of the Indian students who are in that area looking, they said, this person's gone mad. What's he doing? Because rugby is alien to them. There's no such thing as rugby. And he started playing rugby. He said, this is the game we play in South Africa. And so he was so, you know, he had this ability to just calm things down and do it differently, but have the fun within it. There's so many other things. Like Maulana Mufti Jina Saab just mentioned, yes, his love for books was phenomenal. He could sit and he could sit for hours and hours. I was unfortunate that I used to remember him, and my remembrance was because I wrote in my memoirs, he had a doodle book, a diary from South Africa, which he started to write in. But within about a week, he stopped putting his entries in. And he started using it as a doodle book, which he left behind after he left. And if you go through that book, I don't know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me to just keep it. And there's pages and pages of, some pages of just doodling, and other pages he's written down poetry that he's copied, or he's written down other things. I think he wrote down a whole, and it's in his own writing, some Usul al-Fiqh kitab. I think it's maybe copied of kitab al or something of that sort. فَهَذِهِ وَرَقَاتٌ تَشْتَمِلُ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ فُصُولٍ مِّنْ وَصُولِ الْفِقْهِ. And he's written 18, 19 pages in his own writing. I don't think he finished, or maybe 20 pages. And these things I have by me, so I'm feeling connected with him for what he left behind, and yet grieving that, in grief that, you know, I couldn't take as much benefit from him as I could have and I should have. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, taken him away. I think what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did through him was, we read books, we read our classical texts of ulama of the past, you know, luminaries of the past who had the ability of being able to master many disciplines. And I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Sheikh Taha was wanting to give us an example of Ainul Yaqeen of that. We've read them. Allah says here's an example of what they were like in the previous era. And my opinion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him to us for many other reasons. One of these was to give us a glimpse of what our predecessors were. Yeah, well, our parents' predecessors were alike, or what sort of character and ability and things. His memory and his ability to retrain and bring back things that he read was phenomenal. I mean, a few incidents happened here in the UK. One was when he was traveling with the contingent of the Shafi hosts who had called him over. They'd been to a place called Woking, where it's alleged that one of the first masjid was financed by a sister from India and built, and they had a madrasa. So they were there and they were sat in the masjid. And some of the visitors there came and asked Sheikh Taha to give them the Musal Salats. And so he said, the host said that we were sat there, and immediately, without hesitation, without any repetition, he sat there and he read out 5 to 6 sanads by heart of the Musal Salats that he had. And the whole sanad from himself right up till the beginning of the sanad, and he read it all out without any hesitation and by heart. And this is what I heard, but then I experienced that myself. They then came to Leicester just for a few hours, which I found I've held it against those brothers for all these years that they only came to our city Leicester for a few hours. He came to there's a Shafi masjid here. And he came to the masjid and he gave a small speech. And then we were sat after the program, we were sat in the back. And one of the brothers asked for the Al-Rahimun Yarhamuhumur Rahman hadith, because he was a brother from the other side of town who had some sort of contact with Sheikh Taha previously from the way that he was speaking. And he said, Sheikh, if you could give us the hadith. And immediately he read the whole sanad. He read the whole sanad without having to have any resources to any papers, any pamphlets. He just read the whole sanad. And he did the same when he was asked to do the Khatm-e-Bukhari Now, maybe sometimes you may think that if you're preparing for the Khatme Bukhari, you probably prepared all your sunnah and everything. But whilst you were sat there, they said, Sheikh, you know, we'd also like you to finish up Muslim Sharif because, you know, it's an appropriate time. So the Muslim Sharif was placed on him without any forewarning. And yet he did the whole sunnah of Muslim as well as the sunnah of Bukhari for each kitab there and then sat on stage. And nothing fazed him, and he was able to do that. And when we, you know, we were so fortunate. And yet, his humbleness and his modesty was out of this. You know, it was unbelievable. Straight after the program, and I haven't written this. This is well, it's sort of a private moment. We were stood in the saf for salat, and he bent over to me and he said, "Kola," you know, and he so fondly remembered me like this. He says, "Kola. You know, we wasted our time in Joban. We slept in Joban. We messed about. And look how much izzah and respect Allah is giving us."
Allah
and I thought, and I'm thinking to myself, this is a person who's got everything, and yet he's so modest and humble with it. He's still believing that, you know, he's not deserving of it, and yet he was more than deserving of it. And he just bent over, and the way he said that, it sort of, I became so emotional at thinking of, you know, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him so much character, and this is the embodiment of the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that really, those things really, they helped us. The one thing last more, if you don't mind me.
Sure, Marana.
The one thing that Sheikh Ta'ajud, so in with respect to what he wanted, in that bayan also, and in other sittings, He two things he really stressed upon. One was for students of whichever mazhab, and he used to stress on the Shafi mazhab in that sitting as well. You need to put in the effort. Don't rely just because some other community or some other people of fraternity have done the effort that you're going to just eat off their plate. Put in your own effort. And the second thing is, and he was very open about this, and he mentioned this with the word, he said, just because the Gujarati community have been able to establish the masjids and the madrasas, that doesn't mean as you as the Shafi should just sit there and rely on them. You need to put in your own effort, because each and every mazhab and each and every community have their own things that they have to put the effort into to retain and preserve. And therefore, you need to do this. And he was very, he appreciated any aspect of Islam or knowledge, or especially of deen that was adopted. He appreciated it, no matter where it came from. And this is what he tried to say in that bayan. He said, whichever community or whichever nation put in the effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the knowledge, gave them the privilege of being able to uphold the banner of Islam, whether it was the Arabs, then from the Arabs it came on to the towards the Turks, and then it came on to the people of Asia, i.e. meaning Khorasan and Bukhara and all that. And then, you know, and now at this moment, you know, the Indian subcontinent, the ulama of the Indian subcontinent, they also upheld this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking work from them. Whichever nation makes the effort, Allah will take time, will take work from them. And he stressed that very, 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 very much. So he wanted the Shafi students as well as the other students to put in the effort, because that's the only way we're going to be able to retain this legacy and take it forward. And that something is still sticking in my mind, that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to inspire other people as well as himself, and yet remain so down to earth. And he meant so simple, so approachable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know, I there's so many words I'd like to put in there. It's just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to
appreciate
aspects of this and emulate it to the best of our ability.
Marana, we say Jazakallah for you. A message coming in: when Marana Taha visited Gauteng, he would come home to visit. These visits only began well after Isha, and he would chat until the early hours of the morning. There was usually a third friend who, like Maulana Taha, was quite brilliant. The standard was that we drank homemade lemonade, which he enjoyed. Some of these discussions would continue from meeting to meeting. I remember some of those jokes and comments we shared very well. He was always prepared to listen to other views. He was interested in the latest research, academic circles, and would ask about it and share his thoughts. Because I had access to materials at the university, I would often send him the information required. One or two occasions, I invited him to address the students at the Rand African University. And the visitor we had from Syria was impressed with Maulana Taha's depth of knowledge. That comes from Maulana Ashraf, Dokrat Sahab, Damat Barakatum.